God bless the reading of His Word. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Yeah, Christmas technically hasn't ended, right? We have 12 days on Christmas until January 6th. And so the visit of the Magi is still technically like Christmas season, right? In the Eastern Church, in fact, Christmas is January 6th for them. Everything is lumped in January 6th. The birth of Christ, the visit of the Magi, and everything is January 6th for the Eastern Church. For us in the Western Church, of course, we celebrate in December 25. Obviously, they use different calendar, right? The Gregorian and the Julian calendar. But in any case, Merry Christmas, and hopefully we will all have, and of course, in Christ, we will have a wonderful, wonderful and prosperous new year, right? So today I'm going to talk about the secret to Happy New Year. And so let me just start off by saying this. As the year comes to an end, people from all walks of life, all around the world, look for ways to achieve a happy and prosperous new year, right? Especially among Asians, even Chinese, right? We always want to have a prosperous new year, right? And of course, everyone would want to have that. So different cultures have their own Christmas and year traditions, many of them centered on good luck, protection, or blessing. Now, there's so many cultures in the world, so I'm just going to pick up a few of them that may be very familiar to us. Now, how different cultures welcome the new year, and this is very interesting. In fact, when you Google this, there's a whole gamut of just, you know, they're saying even there's just so many things that you might find it peculiar, you might find it, you know, very interesting that different cultures do when they prepare, when they face the new year. Now, in Japan, Buddhist temples ring their bells 108 times. Wow, 108 times on New Year's Eve in a ritual called Joya no Kane to cleanse away the 108 earthly desires or temptations, the bono, that cause suffering, allowing people to start the new year fresh and purified. So I guess it's one way to just like empty everything and clean yourselves and face the new year in a whole, in a clean slate. And in Spain, people eat 12 grapes at midnight, right? And one for each month, hoping for good fortune. In fact, there even I think it was in Brazil that they need to go to the beach and hop on the waves, right? Each wave, maybe 12 waves representing the new year. So different cultures face the new year with different traditions and things that they do. Of course, in China, we know fireworks and firecrackers are used to make loud noises and bright flashes to scare away evil spirits, creating a festive atmosphere and welcoming good luck for the new year. Now, fireworks is now adopted in so many other parts of the world, and so fireworks has become like the right way to at least, welcome the new year. There's so many other Chinese custom and traditions, like, of course, the red packet. Any of you received the red packet? Yeah, my two kids received from their grandmother, okay? But because they gave the two kids, so we also received. No, but of course, for many cultures, people house clean, right? To take away the bad luck, staying up late together as a family, family reunion, we know that. Different cultures do that as well. And, of course, for luck, money. Now, in the Philippines, this is interesting. Do you know that in the Philippines, the Philippines was colonized by Spain for 333 years. Wow. So a lot of Spanish influence in the Philippines. But, of course, a lot of Chinese influence also in the Philippines because of the proximity of the Philippines to China. In fact, the oldest Chinatown in the world is found in Manila, in Philippines, right? Oldest Chinatown in the world is in the Philippines. And so there's a lot of Filipino traditions that has a mix of Spanish and Chinese and also, of course, American, because the Americans were in the Philippines for 40 years. So, wow, 333 years of Spanish colonization, then the Americans came for 40 years. And of course, the Japanese came for 5 years. So that's the history, at least roughly, of the Philippines. So a lot of melting cultures. So polka dots, some Filipinos will wear polka dots, of course, because of the coin. So it symbolizes, prosperity. Round fruits, possibly taken from Spain, but now had a different, different twist to it, different 12 fruits, round fruits, set on the table. I know Chinese do this as well. So like grapes, orange, melons, and of course coins. They would shake in their pockets, scattering around the house at midnight. Again, another way to invite financial luck. And so all this tradition, I want you to listen to this. I believe that when you think about these traditions, it deeply reveals something deeply human, right? That we all want hope, yes? That we all want the new year to be better. We all want peace. You know, we always make a joke about Miss Universe, right? That, you know, what do you want? World peace. But did you know, interesting, you tried to Google this. Do you know that in maybe 5,000, 6,000 years of human history, we only have about, according to historians, for 6,000 years of written history, we only have about 280 plus years of real peace. Can you imagine that? So in the whole history of humankind, there's always been wars somewhere all around the world. And so although I know sometimes it becomes like a cliche, I want world peace, but you know what? You'll be surprised. The world is such a turbulent place. That's why, you know, this is the amazing thing about Jesus, because Jesus came during the Pax Romana. You can Google this. This is there was relatively peace in the Roman Empire when Jesus came. The Prince of Peace came when there was relative peace. And how, you know, you can just call that coincidence, right? But that he's the Prince of Peace. We all want joy in this new year, right? We want to forget everything that has happened maybe in the past, and then we look forward for hopefully a happier new year, and we all want a better year ahead. But what do we really need to be happy in the new year? And so if you forget everything I said, the secret to a happy new year is really Christmas. It's really not a secret. And that is why I think when we think about, you know, when we greet people, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, I think it just works so beautifully that the basis of a Happy New Year must always be Christmas. Must always be. So the secret to a Happy New Year is Christmas. Because imagine this, we all want love, we all want peace, we all want hope, right? For the new year, a better new year. But this is all what Christ has given us this Christmas. And so if Christmas gives us love, hope, peace, and joy, what else do we really need? You know, the secret to a happy new year. That picture we took yesterday, we went to the distillery Winter Village. And interesting, I was trying, there was love, there's peace, and I'm preaching today, right? But you know what I did not find, the word? I found peace, joy, and love, but there was no hope. I think that's a bit interesting, ironic, right? There was no hope. I don't know, maybe I have not, you know, went to the whole place, but I know we did. We went to every nook. Huh? There is? There's none, right? Have you been there? No hope, right? Yeah, see? That's why we have no hope. I'm just kidding, right? I think that's what, you know, it's ironic, right? We all want love, peace, joy. But where's hope? But one of the things that you and I should always remember is that when we think about the new year, you know, we need to remember that we are loved. And we are loved. That's why Christmas begins with love. We look forward for the new year. I don't know about you. Maybe you're looking forward to a new year that you feel that maybe more people will love you. Maybe, you know, you will be able to love more people. But Christmas begins with love. And you and I have already received, if you've received Christ in your life, then you've already received the greatest love the world, you know, will ever experience. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes, you know, we all want, you know, when God made us, we are You know, we are emotional beings. We all have this need to be loved and to love. But Jesus fills all that void that we have in our hearts. And I hope that as you look forward for a new year, maybe you think that it will not be happy because maybe you don't have someone, or maybe you don't feel love, or maybe you feel that, you know, you are unloved. You know, I pray that the Lord will fill your heart with His love. Amen. And remind you and me that He loves you more than you can ever imagine. Right? Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you are loved. Okay? You are loved. Amen. You are loved. Right? Now, listen to this, guys. Now, our happiness, let's read this together, the first one. Okay? Our happiness, let's go. Our happiness does not start with what we do in the new year, but what God has already done. Isn't that beautiful? Right? Amen? Right? We don't have to, like, do something, but to understand that, hey, God has already did something for us, and that is why this is what we can bring, you know, with us facing the new year. And so we go into the new year knowing that you and I are deeply loved by God. Now think of a child who is deeply loved by his or her parents, right? We all have parents. That child doesn't wake up every day wondering, will my parents love me today? Although I know in a broken world sometimes, I know we can have broken families, so we are mindful of that as well. But generally, the child usually, even at their small age, of course, you know, they won't be thinking too much. Usually they won't wonder and say, will my parents love me today, right? Instead, the child would live with confidence, free to grow, to fail, and to try again because their love is secure. Amen? Right? Because they know that, you know, papa, mama, daddy, mommy will always be there. And no matter what happens to me, I know that I'm loved. Amen? And imagine, you know, that God's love is so much more perfect, more whole, right, than any parent could ever give us. And so this is the kind of love that our God gives us. In fact, that's why, you know, the Bible says, if He did not even withhold His Son, how can He not graciously give us all things? Amen? Can you imagine that? If God Himself sent His beloved Son to die for you and me on the cross, I mean, I don't know about you, but can you just let that sink in for a moment? If God did not even spare His beloved Son for you and for me, how will He not graciously give us all things? How will He not graciously give us all things? You know, God desires to give us all the things that we need for life. But of course, as I have prayed earlier, it's also good also for us to be reminded that, you know, just like our earthly parents, you know, God is more than, of course, He's perfect, right? And that many times, sometimes withholding things from us might sometimes be the best things for us, right? And so in life, sometimes we don't get all the things that we need, that we want, because, you know, our parents know more, right? They know that that's part of the training that we need for life. And that's how God works with us as well. Always remember this, guys. Sometimes some people would say, oh, if God is so good, if God is so loving, how come, you know, my life, it seems like there's so many trials and there's so many, you know, my life, it seems like it's not in order. All right? But always remember, the only way for faith, now I want you to listen to this, the only way for faith to grow is to be tested. There's no other way. The only way for faith to grow is to be tested. Now, remember, testing is different from tempting. That's why James said in James, you should never say that God tempts you, because God never tempts. See, temptation is very different from testing. That the goal of temptations of the devil is always to put you down. That's the goal of temptation. things might look good, things might seem right, but actually, that's why the book of Proverbs says there's a way that leads, that seems right, but it leads to destruction. That's what temptation does. But remember testing, hallelujah. Testing is always meant for your good. Amen? Testings, the bottom line of testings is always to build us up. And so we should not, you know, we should not shy away from testings. Because when our faith is tested, then we trust in God more. We trust, we exercise more faith, right? And so this is the kind of God that we have. A God who wants the best for us. The God who wants us to abide in Him even as He prunes us. Amen? So part of the discipleship process in our lives as well is to prune us. That's why Jesus said, if you really want to follow me, you know, take up your cross, deny yourself daily and follow me. So there's always that aspect of discipleship that is important for us to understand. Right? God never promised that there will be, you know, I like that song, give them all to Jesus. Do you know that song? He never said there will be no sunshine. He never said there'll be no rain. He only promised a heart full of singing, you know, for the very thing that once brought pain. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and He'll turn your sorrow into joy. Beautiful song. Reveals my age, right? Those were the songs I sing during college days. Now, a beautiful song. Give them all to Jesus. Right? So Christmas, let's read this together, guys. Go. Christmas reminds us that God's love for us is not based on our performance, our resolutions, our past mistakes. And so before we make plans for the new year, I hope that you will be reminded that God has already declared His love by giving us His Son. Amen. And so you and I face the new year knowing that I am loved. Amen. Knowing that I'm precious in the eyes of God. And so if God loves me, do you think if God loves you, will God not bless you and do all the in His power to allow you to grow, to become the best that you can be for Him and for His glory? Amen? And so this is really not a secret, but this is revealed in His Word. So let's read this together. Go. Because we are loved, we don't face the new year trying to what? Earn God's approval or His love. We face it secure in His love. That's why salvation has always been by grace through faith and not by works. We are already loved. Christ, God already showed His love to us by sending His Son. Right? That what you and I should need is to appropriate that love in our lives and say, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift of love. We don't have to work for it for approval. You know? Like children, you don't work for the approval. Sadly, of course, again, it's because, you know, in our earthly family, the dynamics, we're not perfect. And so I know sometimes some kids, you know, we feel that we need to earn the approval of our parents. But actually, if you really ask your parents, you don't need to. Because they loved you. Of course, they discipline you. They teach you what is right and wrong. It doesn't mean they don't love you. Right? Although I know sometimes Asian Chinese is very different, right? We're not very showy with our emotions. I never forget. We went to a mission trip, way back, 2002. We went to Xining in China, in the province of Qinghai, in the northwestern part of China. The province is next to Tibet. So, wow, we were like very high altitude, 2,000 meters high up. And four of us went for a mission trip. We connected with WEC, World Evangelization Crusade. We want to see the Muslim work with the Hui people group in Xining in China. Four of us, we landed in Beijing, one Malaysian, one from Hong Kong, and then two of us from the Philippines. And we took the train from Beijing. Before the time, there was still no fast train. I think we took the train from Beijing to Xining about 28 hours. Wow, can you imagine that? And we, even though we were in a no-smoking part, everyone was still smoking. So for 28 hours, we were like opening the window. But we had a very interesting conversation while we were there. We were enjoying the fellowship. By then, I was already married to Kathy. And both were actually planning to get married. So we were kind of like sharing life. And our friend, the Hong Kong girl, Doris, she was saying, we're all ethnic Chinese as well, right? So even the Malaysian guy was, the Hong Kong girl was saying, he never expressed his love, you know? And then the Malaysian guy told her, told us matter-of-factly, he said, no need to show, it's all in the heart, right? It's all in the heart, no need to show, right? So very, very Asian, maybe very, very Chinese. But you know what? God, we don't need to earn God's approval. He already loved us. Amen? This should give us confidence to face the new year. This should give us confidence every day of our lives to know that you and I are loved. And if you are loved, do you think that if your parents love you, do you think they will not provide for your needs? Of course they will. Yes? Do you think if God loves you, He will not even think about your needs? Of course He will. Right? And so that's why love is so important. Because if you and I truly understand that if God, the God of the universe, loves you, and He has given us His Son, will He not graciously give us all the things that we need in life and so much more? Of course, the answer to that rhetorical question is, of course, a resounding yes. So not only that we are loved, we have hope because we are loved. You know, when you think about these four words, it's all connected. Love, hope, peace, and joy. We are loved. And because we are loved, that's why we have hope, because we are loved. Isn't that beautiful? Knowing that I am loved, it gives me so much hope that whatever happens in the new year, this love is secure. And so I'm anchored in this beautiful love of God in me. Let's read this together. And hope does not put us, what? To shame, look at this, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who He has been given to us. And so this hope will not put us to shame because of God's love. And of course, this hope is not just wishful thinking, but this is the sure hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, that He will be with us till the very end of the age. Amen? That He will be with you and me, you know, loving us all the way. Right? So because God loves us, amen, we have hope. And what does this hope look like? It looks in so many ways, right? We can apply this in so many ways. Hope for forgiveness. Hope for restoration. Hope for a future. And a beautiful future. Again, always remember, it doesn't have to be always without challenges. Because remember, that's part of pruning us. It's part of us growing in faith. But the promise is that He will always be with us. Right? Remember that song and poem, Footprints in the Sand? It's a beautiful poem, right? Footprints in the sand, He held me in His hand. I think that's beautiful. I think the young people, you know Footprints in the Sand, no? You should Google that. It's a beautiful, it's like the story there, actually, of a man and Jesus, they were walking on the beach, and he always see two sets of footprints. Always see two sets of footprints. So in those beautiful days, he was like, oh, me and Jesus were close, we're good, right? But in the saddest, darkest part of his life, he questioned Jesus, he questioned God, because why? He only saw one set of footprints. And he said, God, where are you? How come only one set of footprints? And then it ended in saying, actually, my child, he said, it was then that I carried you. Beautiful. it is when that I carried you. So in those times that we sometimes doubt if God is there, actually God is carrying us. That's why there's only one set of footprints. We think that it was only our footprints, but actually it was only Jesus, because he was carrying us. And this is the God who loved you and me. And so you face the new year with fear. Many people actually, in fact, the fear of the unknown. One of the top fears in the world is the fear of the unknown. In fact, in every, maybe all of us, of course, we're also humans. When we think about, you know, the unknown future and something that we can't control, it gives us shivers, right? To think that, oh, what will happen? What about the economy? You know, what about my work? Will I still have work in the future? Right? Let's put our hope in God. Amen? Let's put our hope in God. He loves you and me. And so this hope is not wishful thinking. It is anchored in Christ. Our hope is not in a better version of ourselves. Right? Because if we do this on our own, we just fail and fail again. Now, of course, don't get me wrong. I know John Maxwell would always say this. I know many self-help gurus would always tell you about be a better version of yourself. Of course, in a way, that's good. But the problem many times of if you we say this, you know, with in a vacuum without God in the picture, it becomes very humanistic, right? Just the best version of ourselves. But how does that look like, right? The more greedy version of yourself, I don't know, right? What is the best version of yourself, right? You know, without God in the picture, it becomes so me-focused. But see, every year, people make resolutions. What's your resolutions, right? Every year, I want to lose weight. I still want to lose weight, okay? Get healthier, save more money, be more patient, read more books, fix relationships, right? There was a movie that became a flop about, what was the movie? Big flop during the time. It's like a sci-fi movie that they went to Mars, something like that. But anyway, at the end of the day, the whole point of the movie, read more books, travel, and marry. It seems like that's the thing that will make us happy, right? Top 10 common New Year's resolutions. Maybe you can find yourself there. Exercise more, eat healthier, save money, lose weight, spend more time with family, reduce stress, be more organized, quit bad habits, grow personally, be happier. Now, let's read this together. Go. Resolutions rely on human strength, and they often decline by February. Right? Maybe you get a membership, you know, in the gym in January, by February, you know, before you know it, the year has passed. You only went to the gym 2 times, right? And I think I've spoken to some of you or a person who said, "Yeah, I only went to the gym," right? So again, you know, but brothers and sisters and friends, our hope is rooted in the unchanging love of God. Amen. Unchanging love of God. Instead of looking at resolutions, I think it's always good for us to shift our mind and says, let's look at God's promises. There's so many God's promises in the Bible. I know maybe you've heard some people say, oh, there are 300 plus fear nots in the Bible. There was one pastor who tried to do that in the Bible. I know it's not maybe that accurate. But definitely there's so many promises in the Bible. And if we only look into scriptures, we might be able to find hope in there because God says so. And so we face the new year, you know, putting and anchoring our faith in Christ more than just anchoring, you know, our hope in wishful thinking. I am with you always. I will never leave you. My grace is sufficient for you. I give you peace. There will be turbulent times ahead. Yes? Guarantee. Right? There will be problems ahead. But God gives you peace. And then Jesus said, I give you the joy that no one can take away. So resolutions say, I will try. But promises say, God is faithful. And so we build on that more than anything. God is faithful, I know. And so brothers and sisters and friends, as you enter the new year, bring your regrets, failures, and unfinished stories to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? He has yet wonderful, wonderful stories, you know, being planned for you and for me. Right? So instead of saying, I hope things will get better, and this is what resolutions are, I hope things get better, I think we should learn how to say, I trust the one who holds my future. Amen? Rather than, I hope it gets better, because sometimes it's just wishful thinking. But I trust the one who holds my future, because he has given me so much promises to hold on to in scriptures. So biblical hope, now listen to this, biblical hope does not ignore reality. And that's why, you know, when you look at the scriptures, this is not just about positive thinking. Because positive thinking is that no matter how positive you are, that the bear is not there. The bear is not there, but the bear is there, right? Right? No amount of positive thinking at times will change the circumstance. But biblical hope does not ignore reality. That's why as believers in Jesus, we always want to tell people about discipleship that, hey, you and I will face troubles. You and I will face troubles of many kinds. In fact, all kinds of troubles. It does not ignore reality, but it anchors us in God's faithfulness even when circumstances are uncertain. Right? And so the uncertainty fades away knowing that we have an unchanging God. So let's read this together, guys. Go. Hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that God is faithful no matter how things turn out. This is very, very different, right? This is so different and countercultural. Right? In fact, that's why some people are saying, you know, I've shared the gospel to friends, to people that I know. They say, oh, Pastor, I'm not yet ready to come to God. Maybe when my life is in order, when things get better, then I go to God. Oh, maybe you got it in reverse. Maybe come to God now, then things will get better. Right? Because sometimes people think it that way. Right? I have so many things in life, you know, I'm not ready, I'm not good, you know. Some people would even joke that when they come to church, they will, you know, melt away and burst in fire, in flames, because they're sinful people, right? And sometimes maybe before that's how we think that way. But hey, you know what? Maybe just come to God now and experience His grace and goodness, and that you see that your life will slowly turn around. Right? So it's hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well. There's no guarantee of that in life. There was a Christian who died, and on his funeral, a poem was distributed to all the mourners, and it was a beautiful poem entitled about cancer. And talking about, you know, at the end of the day, cancer can take this away, can take this away, but cancer cannot take heaven away, cannot take my faith away, and cannot take Jesus away. But the point is, do Christians also get cancer? Yes. Do Christians also die in horrible accidents? Yes. We live in a broken world, and so as Christians, we are not immune to those things as well that happen in life. But see, hope is not just all things will work out well, no. Hope is that God is faithful, amen, no matter how things turn out. And, you know, did you know that in the Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame, when you read that, it's very encouraging. All the great men and women of God died without seeing the promise fulfilled in their lifetime. No one saw the promise fulfilled. But because they set their minds in Christ. But of course, now looking back, we all know that all those were fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. In our point of view, all those were fulfilled. So third, very quickly. Okay, wow, that picture, peace. We have peace and hope because we have hope. See, connected. We are loved. We have hope because we are loved. And because we have hope, we have peace and joy. Amen? Because we know that God will take care of our future, that's why we have peace. And that's why we have joy. Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may what? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So may the God of hope fill you with peace and joy. Hope in Christ produces what? Peace with God, joy that circumstances cannot take away. So whatever you face this new year, right? Peace and joy are not found in perfect situations, but in a faithful Savior. In fact, we can still have peace and joy even in dark times, because it's not dependent on circumstance. I know some people, you've heard people say, it makes sense, right? The difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on something that happens. That's why happiness. But joy does not depend on the circumstances. Whatever happens, it does not matter. Joy will always be joy. Hallelujah. And this is the joy that the world cannot give. Only Jesus can. And so because of hope, we have peace and joy. We face the new year confident in Christ. Right? Imagine a boat in a stormy sea. The waves crash around it, yet the boat remains steady because it is anchored to a strong and unmovable point. In the same way, hope in Christ is our anchor. So no matter how rough life gets, we can remain at peace and experience joy because of our anchor, because of Jesus, because of His love is secure. So, what else do we need for New Year to be happy? If we are loved, if we have hope, if we have peace and joy. All right? And of course, very important for us to remember is that love, hope, peace, and joy are a person. Amen? Yes, this is not just abstract ideas, feelings, but that Jesus is. That's why Jesus' presence, Jesus' promise is a person, right? The Word became flesh. All the promises of God find their yes in Him. So love is Jesus, love is God. Remember, John says, God is love and love is God. And then, of course, we know that Jesus is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the hope of the world, so He is our hope. Isn't it beautiful? And so love, joy, and peace are not just abstract ideas, but He is a person. And this person is with you and with me. He is Emmanuel. And so we face the new year with Jesus by our side. Amen? With Jesus by our side. So what are you afraid of? What are you fearful of? Amen? So love has a name, hope has a face, peace has come near, joy has entered the world. His name is Jesus. So guys, we are loved. Because we are loved, we have hope. And because we have hope, we have peace and joy. And because of Christ, we already have everything we need to truly be happy. So a happy new year is not built on luck, traditions, or resolutions. It's built on Christmas. A happy new year begins at the manger. And so again, if you forget everything I said, the big idea is very simple. Let's read this together, guys. The secret to a happy new year is Christmas. Father, we thank You for Your precious words today. Lord, we know Your word is true, Your word is life, Your word changes our lives. Lord, as we face the new year, I know maybe some of us or all of us, Lord, have many trepidations, many worries, many, you know, because of the fear of the unknown. Will I still have work? Will my work be good? There's so many variables, Lord, for the new year. But Lord, thank You for Your precious words. Lord, Your words are true. Your words are a light unto our feet, a light and a lamp unto our path, Lord. Lord, Your word changes lives. Lord, help us not just to be hearers of Your word, but doers of Your word. Lord, we thank You. Lord, that your word, Lord, comforts us. Lord, your word challenges us. And so, Father, we pray, thank you for reminding us, Lord, that the secret to a happy new year is Christmas. And so may we always have Christmas in our hearts. May we always have Jesus in our hearts. Lord, I pray for all of us here, Lord, that maybe our relationship, Lord, if it's not that good with you, or maybe, you know, maybe we have not had that relationship with you. Oh, Father, I pray that you would build us up in our most holy faith. Help us, Lord, to have faith in Jesus.